Isaiah chapter 58, and I'm going to read from verse 6 through to verse 12. So Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6. The words will be on the screen behind me, so don't worry about trying to find it if you haven't got a Bible. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called a repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. I wonder if I could just invite John to come up to the front, and we'll pray for John before he brings the message that God has laid on his heart. Let me pray for John. Father, we just lift our dear brother John before you. Father, we pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, that the words that he speaks to us this morning would be words of spirit and of truth, words that would touch our hearts as your Spirit works within us. Father, we pray the things that John has prepared, that he'd be able to bring those to us in the power of your Spirit, and that you might cause him to know your help as he preaches and he brings your word and your message to us today. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good start. Goodness me. It's all right, it's not in no particular order. Thanks, Peter. Good morning. This is a real privilege for us to come from Surrey Chapel in Norwich to share something from God's Word, and particularly to talk about Christians Against Poverty. I bring you greetings from the elders and congregation at Norwich. We're going through a period of change since the passing of our dear pastor last year, but we have now appointed a new pastor who starts in May, so we're looking forward to a new ministry amongst us. I thought it might be good just to share with you, just to start, just for a few minutes, as to how I became involved with Christians Against Poverty. It was Time goes by, doesn't it? Some 20 years ago now, the Christians Against Poverty started in 1996 in Bradford, in Yorkshire. And in 1999, I was leading a church in Bingley, which is next door to Bradford. And a friend of mine said to me one day, "John, there's a new charity that's just starting in Bradford. Would you like to come along and see it?" So I said, yes, because he's my friend and I'd like to see what was happening in Bradford. So along I went this morning and on this particular day, and the headquarters of Christians Against Poverty is in Bradford in Jubilee Mill. It still is. It's a huge building on five floors, an ex-woolen mill. And we went in, and the area was, well, I don't know, five times as big as this room at least. I mean, it's a huge, huge building. And you go in on the middle floor. And when I went there, there wasn't much there. There were just a few desks, a few volunteers, John Kirby, whom you'll see in the film later, and a computer, a phone. I mean, it was pretty primitive. And they were tremendously enthusiastic. They believed, under the leadership of John Kirby, that they were going to change the nation. They were going to change so many lives. And the vision didn't really go very well beside what was actually happening, the people that were there. Although they were all enthused, it was so small, so basic. Anyway, we had lunch, and the thing I noticed was that dotted around the room in strategic places, I realise now, were lots of buckets. This is on the third floor, remember, two above. And in Bradford, it rains. Did you know that? Oh, it didn't half rain. And it rained that day. It bucketed down. And then I began to see what the buckets were for. They were collecting the water that was coming. Remember, this is what was going on two floors above. I have no idea. And on a given note, as the rain intensified, John and the others went to the corner of the room and got up umbrellas, and they were actually working under umbrellas. Now, with the best will in the world, it wasn't easy for me to gather this vision. So we left after lunch, and my friend Stephen, who's still my friend, said to me, "What do you think, John?" And I said, "Well, Stephen, that is so hard. I mean, the vision is lovely. I mean, it is a wonderful vision to help those who are struggling. It is absolute gospel. But, you know, I can't get my head round that." At any rate, to cut a long story short, I've repented of that now. you know, I stood in the corner and put on the sackcloth and ashes. Because now there are over 650 centres around the UK. The mill at Bradford, Jubilee Mill, has had the roof fixed, and there are now people working, over 300, on five floors. And we have a Jubilee Centre, which is another woolen mill next door, which is also full. We have centres in Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And we have now just started this month a centre in Chicago. So you can imagine why I needed to repent, having seen what God has done. Now, John might be the most enthusiastic person in the world. You spend 5 minutes with him and you're really tired. But without God, this charity would not be where it is today. And John would, if he was standing here, would tell you exactly the same. It's all down to God's grace and his love and his compassion. How appropriate those songs were. Compassion that Jesus showed to those who were struggling, and that we have the privilege of carrying on that message of compassion and helping people no matter what their circumstance. So let's have the first slide, can we, Lucy? So the title of what I've got to say is When Hope Walks In. And Stuart, whom you're going to meet in a minute, in the video, he'd had an accident and was unable to work. He had debts. He was reduced to going around the food bins in the city and getting his food that way. And he'd even thought about suicide. You know, it's not a good picture that I'm painting for you. We've only been in Norwich for 5 years now. And yesterday we went to Yarmouth just as a sort of bus ride and a bit of sea air. And where it seemed where we walked, there were people in doorways, you know, in sleeping bags. Now, whatever the reasons that there may be for those folk to be in that place, some of them just cannot see a way forward. And we go into people's homes bringing the message of hope into people's situations that really are, well, they're heartbreaking. How people have got themselves into a place, and frankly, more often than not, it's not their fault. And we have the honour to bring hope to these lives, to these folk. So Stuart, so we have debt centres. We also have Fresh Start, which is helping people who have dependencies, alcohol, drugs, pornography. We have job clubs, which help people. We've got a job club in Norwich, at Surrey Chapel. And I sometimes go there on a Tuesday and I'm just amazed at what God will do. With very humble beginnings, our job club, this lady caught the vision that she wanted to run a CAP job club, Dawn. I mean, I'm not very tall, but she's a little lady, but she's a bundle of energy too. And so we started the job club. It took a while before it sort of got going. But last week there were about 18 people attending our job club. We found people jobs. We've been praying for them, and they know that we have, and they'll come back and say, through your prayers, I found a job. Now, that might not sound much, but to these people, that's the start of something new, a fresh start for them in the job club. It's just extraordinary. We spend time with them. We give them lunch. They came down to lunch, and there was about 30 of us, CAP clients, who were having lunch together. Our pastor gave a talk, just 10-minute talk. We've seen people become Christians. We've seen the difference that it's making in their lives. I mean, it's just... Sorry. I've got this. Slide 3. 14 million. I mean, can you believe this? It's really, really hard to believe, I know. And I suppose 20 years ago, I would have found that difficult. 14 million people in our nation are living in poverty. That's not our statistic, that's an official statistic. And it's heartbreaking. But we can do something about it. And we can, by one life at a time, we can see people being relieved from their poverty and finding a new way forward and finding a new life. 14 million. CAP works with local churches to connect with these broken people whose lives have been devastated by poverty through debt, unemployment, dependencies and low income. What is our unique ingredient? Would you know our unique ingredient is you and me? We have the opportunity of contributing to this work by prayer, by financially, by maybe starting a centre, by going into people's homes and telling people that there is hope, that God loves them. No matter what, no matter in what situation they are, what circumstances they are living in, God loves them. His love will reach into their lives and make a difference. And they will see change. And we are seeing lives changed. I don't know how many homes I've been into since I've been doing it now for 20 years. Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000. Of homes, I would never have the opportunity of going in. And now I can go in freely. I can start by saying God loves you. And more than that, I'm going to show you just how much God does love you by helping you in your situation that you're in and bringing you out of it and showing you a new way forward. How does that sound? Now, most people will say, great, there'll be a few skeptics, of course. One person said to me once, well, that's just words. So I said, okay, they are at this moment words. But you wait. In 6 months' time, those words will become more than words and your life will be different. And 6 months' time, it was. And he had the good grace to say, I'm sorry I had that attitude when you first walked in. I remember the time you came in. So, when hope walks in. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And people, we're finding that people do go through that transition, that they hear about God. But at the end of the, not always, but sometimes, at the end of the process, they are putting their hope in God. They are praying. They are seeing prayers answered. They are seeing support. They are seeing God's love in action. And it affects them. Today, I want to show you how you can join CAP's mission and enable hope to walk into lives where hopelessness rules. Can we go to the film, please, Lucy?
You can see it happening, you can see the war rising, you can see the depth you're in. Thank you.
Can we go to slide 6? That's the messages of hope. Okay. The reading from Isaiah 58, which we looked at, which we heard, is quite a challenging passage. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? But it's right at the end that strikes me. Now, I might be taking a little bit of license here, okay? So, verse 12 says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Now, Isaiah was speaking to a people, and he was, as a prophet, he was looking to something that was going to happen in the future when Jerusalem would be in ruins. And God's people will be allowed to go back and rebuild those ancient ruins, as we know. But as a prophet, I believe that he can also be looking further forward even than that, to a time when Jesus was here. And wasn't Jesus someone who would be repairing broken lives, would be showing us the gospel of salvation that healed broken people and gave them a fresh start? And wasn't it Jesus who brought the church? He said, I will build my church. It's his church. This is his church. It belongs to Jesus. And he hasn't changed. And he's still bent on blessing people, helping people, showing compassion to people, seeing broken lives rebuilt. And my hope, my dream, I suppose, is for the church to be where it ought to be, right in the centre of communities, where communities would look to the local church, would look to you, you wonderful people of God, God's special people, you're his own people, to look to you for their encouragement, for their help, for the direction of their lives, that they would look to you. Restorers, restoration of where the church should be. That's where I believe that's where God wants his church. So there are four messages of hope which Kat brings into people's lives. Next slide. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. The isolated, those who are hopeless, trapped forever, resigned to debt forever, to never stop drinking, never get a job. I can't tell you the number of times that I've met people who say, well, John, there's no hope for me. I'm 58 years old. I'll never get a job. I'm too old. I haven't got any skills. I can't do it. It's never going to happen, John. I know what you say, but it won't happen. And 6 months later, that very man, 58-year-old, has now got a job. Okay, it's a part-time job. But I can't tell you how delighted he was when he came sort of bursting into the job club saying, I've got a job! Amazing, I've got a job! You know, and he was shouting. And I just thought to myself, is this the man who was nearly on his knees with depression and with no hope? And how many times have we seen when you go to, and I've got the privilege this week on Wednesday to go into somebody's home and to say to them, you're now debt free. You've worked with CAP for 3 years, you're now debt free. Your debts have gone, they're all wiped away. You're debt free. You can start again. How about that? You know, to be able to do that is such a privilege. CAP can only operate Because thousands of people give money, prayer and time to this charity, allowing us to step in and come alongside and shine the light of hope. No problem is too big. We buy food, we budget, we show friendship through our job clubs, that people are not alone, that freedom from isolation, shame and guilt. Hope walks in. Slide 8. So the poor have hope and injustice shuts its mouth. I mean, we are in a battle. I mean, let's be honest about this. But we're on the winning side. Jesus is with us. Every time I go into someone's house, I have a little ritual. I sit in the car and just remind myself as to who I am. I am a son of God. He has called me out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's who I am. I'm someone whom Jesus died for. When he died, he had my name in his heart. That's how privileged I am. And I remind myself of who I am before I go into this house. I don't know what's behind the door. I went into a home not long ago and knocked on the door, and there didn't seem to be any answer. So I continued to knock, and it was in a block of flats, so it echoed all around. And then there was a sort of rustling behind. You know, I don't know if you know, I'm getting a bit old now, but there was a television program a few years ago called Porridge. Remember that? Crumbs, you're not as old as me. Dear me. So anyway, Porridge. And you know how it starts with Henry Stanley Fletcher or somebody, and there's the keys going and the bars. Well, it was it reminded me of that, as this chap took across the bar at the top. I could hear him pulling it, and one at the bottom, and the chain was put on the door, and then the door opened a crack, and you could see these two lights peering out. And I said, "Hello, Billy, it's me, John, from Christians Against Poverty." So he slammed the door shut. Took the chain off, opened the door, and I had a jacket on at the time, got hold of my jacket and pulled me in. I had a briefcase and a laptop, and I'm hurtling down this corridor in the dark, and I'm hearing the door slam shut behind me, bolts going on, and I end up in a sort of a heap in the living room, and he comes in. He's only got one bit of furniture, an old sofa. So I sat down, and he comes in, he's sort of shaking like this. Is Billy? I said, Billy, come on now, let's. So unusually, I said, I think what we'll do to start with is pray. So I you know, God answers certain. Well, perhaps I shouldn't say this, but I find he answers certain prayers. So I just prayed. I put my arm on my brother Billy and said, "Lord Jesus, bring your peace to this man. Let your peace come." And it did. Immediately he sort of relaxed. I said, "Come on, Billy. God is here with us." And he said, "Seems like it." And so we started a conversation. Now, Billy lived in fear. He never went out. He never answered the phone, only if he knew who it was, so I could communicate with him. To get his food, he went out in the middle of the night. 3 o'clock was his favourite time, when no one was about. So he couldn't be pursued by people to whom he owed money. And that was his life. He lived in this prison of his room. And gradually we gained his confidence. He came to church. He lasted about 5 minutes in the first service and then went home, which worried me, of course, because I was leading a service. You know, when people walk out of a service that you're doing, it's not a good deal. So I went round to talk to him, and he said, "I've never been to church, John. I couldn't take any of it really. It was all, you know, the singing, the enthusiasm, the prayers. It was just overwhelming. So at any rate, we introduced him to a house group, and he gradually became more and more. He became just to cut this story short. He became debt free, which was a great celebration. We found him a job because he'd been made redundant. He joined the house group. He loved it. He came every time. He never missed. He began to come to church. We invited him to become a Christian, to give his life to Jesus. Just a simple a prayer that he prayed, to asking God to forgive him, and ask Jesus into his life. And he was baptized, and he's now still in that church in Lancashire, serving the Lord, part of the CAP team, and so enthusiastic, still got his job. Hope walked in. It was me, but it wasn't. Jesus walked into that room. And he said, I'll never forget that moment when you prayed for peace. And peace came. So I must get on. I think we'll have to jump. I'm useless at this. We'll have to jump a few slides, Lucy. Can you do that? Can we go to slide 15? I'm putting you to the test now. Is it there? Wow, wonderful. As a result of CAP's work, more than 1,000 people make a personal commitment to Jesus every year. We're over 1,000. Last year, I haven't got the numbers yet, but it's well over 1,000. We've been celebrating a number of things that have happened to CAP. We've seen over 3,000 people make a commitment to Jesus in the last 5 years. We have had a survey conducted, which says that the cost of running CAP is about £8 million now, but the value to society is £31 million. We've had, this is independently done by the London School of Economics. We've had a television program just before Christmas on a Friday. I don't know if anybody saw that, The Debt Saviors. Yeah, well done. When you think, we're only a small charity in terms of charities, been going 20 years, and the BBC Two have put on a program from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock, primetime TV, devoted wholly and solely to Christians Against Poverty. We saw people being prayed for. It's perfect, because it's the BBC. We try to get editorial, sort of input. You can't. But nevertheless, the people who actually made the film were so impressed with what they found and what they saw, and the clients that we have compassion for, and the love that we show them. So it's working. The kingdom is advancing. Hope walks into thousands of lives each year. Now, just lastly, it's only because it says 26,000. It's actually 29,000 now, nearly 30. 30,000 Christians have said yes to playing their part, believing that poverty shouldn't be one's end point. And people give money to change people's lives. But before that, just to finish, I've got a free gift. Well, that went down well, I must say. Usually gets a cheer. but this is Colchester. No, so I have a free gift for you. Here it is. This is the book called Nevertheless, which is the story of Christians against poverty. It's free for you. If you've read it, I've got another book, which is also free. There you go. There we are. And this is called Journeys of Hope, 12 Lives Changed by God. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It really is. It's not about us. It's about him and what he is doing through this. It's amazing. So they're free. You can have a copy. There's some on the... I've got boxes in the boot, so please take one. I don't want to be weighed down by this on the way home. Okay. But of course, there's something else. On your seats, you've probably seen these forms scattered around. Sorry, I got this cold. When hope walks in. Well, on the back of it is a form. Now, there are two things that are absolutely vital to Christians against poverty. If you've gained something from this and you've seen something of the work that we are trying to do, we need you. We need your prayers. We need you to be part of the prayer team. The prayers of God's people are mighty powerful. And remember, there are now thousands of people who are on the front line, people like me, who are going into people's homes. I've got appointments all this week. Going into people's homes I've never been in. You don't know what you're going to be faced with. But to know that God's people are praying is really, really important. And just by filling in this form with your name and address, you become, and giving it back to me, this is really important, give it back to me, that putting in your name and address and a telephone number will enable you to be part of the prayer team, and you'll get regular updates as to what we're doing, and you'll see how the work is multiplying. There is also on the top here, in this orange, this is a new regulation that we have to have your permission for us to communicate with you. So you need to be able to, you need to tick one of those four boxes or all of them so that we can communicate with you. If you want to take it a stage further, so you're on a prayer team. If you want to take it a stage further, as John has suggested, and give a little bit, we exist by those 29,000 people giving a small amount. This is a small, we're not asking you for hundreds. Just a small amount each month will help this charity continue. We don't get government funding. We rely on you, the local church, to support this work as it goes forward. And if you can then tick the box, don't worry about all the details on this side. I mean, you know, we'll contact you. Sorry. We'll contact you and fill in the details later on. So if you just fill in your name, address and telephone number and give the form back to me, that would be great. When hope walks in. And you will be contributing to seeing hope walk into homes. There is a debt centre in Colchester. In fact, the area manager for Christians Against Poverty lives in Colchester, Teresa. So thank you for listening to me. I'm sorry if it's gone on a bit, but just to say that this is one of the works that we are called to be doing, to reaching out to the poor. Jesus said, the poor you will always have. And he's right. Well, of course he is. And in your town, city, you see this? This is a pebble. You see, I picked it up off the beach at Cromer. See, it's a flat stone, okay? Now, if you were on the beach and you were young, What would you do with a flat stone like that? Hey, you would, wouldn't you? You'd skim it, see how many skims, I suppose, you can do. Well, only a stone's throw away from where you are sitting now, there'll be someone who has got unmanageable debt. There'll be someone who is desperate to get a job to support his family or her family. There'll be someone who is dependent on something and they want to get off it. And there'll be someone who wants to learn life skills. And those four things we can do. And only a stone's throw away from here is someone like that. That's it. Sorry, I made a right mess here.
Thank you so much. Well, we're going to end with our closing hymn, which is down to the last line of my old facility. All that I am, I lay before you, which is a great song to end with. And